Well, I've got two guests in the studio. My regular guest, Rosetta Rosa, who's the CEO of the Catalyst Foundation, and she's joined by Peter Stewart, who's the CEO of Astara, and they're with me now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Why is Peter with us, Rosetta?
Well, first of all, thank you, Rob, for having me back on air. And yes, I would like to introduce Peter Stewart as my guest. And I'm going to just outline a couple of reasons of why we have invited Peter today to join us on air. As your listeners know, we often do share information with the Coast FM listeners about issues that impact vulnerable and ageing people. And I think last time we spoke about the definition of what vulnerability is and what it's not, and how this often has either a positive or a negative impact on how a person sees themselves. And we often don't realise that ageing people may also be people with a disability, either by birth or acquired later on in life. We, in the past, Rob, we've also discussed the aged care sector and the services that are available for older South Australians and how they can navigate these services. And so today what I thought was to invite Peter Stewart, who's the CEO of Astara, to discuss the National Disability Insurance Scheme, which deals with people of all ages. However, for this morning, Peter will focus on the NDIS and how it works for older people who require specialist services such as disability support in addition to their aged care services. Now, your listeners may not be aware, or they may actually be aware, that on the 27th of March of this year, the Australian government introduced the changes to the National Disability Insurance Act. So that acronym is NDIS, which we often use. Yep. In 2013, the Act was enacted, and that it will enable future improvements of the NDIS and the strengthening of the NDIS Quality and Safeguarding Commission. Now, I know there's a lot of jargon there, but Peter's going to help us this morning in navigating through that. I also would like to say that Astara is one of our key sponsor partners for this year's Disability and Lifestyle Expo in Adelaide and Kadena. So just very quickly, Kadena's just around the corner, 31st of July and the 1st of August, and our Adelaide Dull is October the 11th and the 12th.
Which we're looking forward to,
yes,
too. So, Peter, I know nothing about NDIS, but we hear about it all the time, both on radio, in the press and on television. And I understand that there was a review of the NDIS. And why was the review conducted in the first place?
Thanks, Rob, and good morning to your listeners. It's hard to know much about the NDIS because it changes so rapidly. And the review was introduced by the federal government to really look at the sustainability of the National Disability Insurance Scheme, which,
yes,
supports well over 600,000 Australians living with disability, really focusing on how can we make sure that this scheme ensures people are able to live the lives that they're able to live, and,
yep,
and I guess most importantly, that we're going to be able to afford it in the long term. And this is a huge thing. We're talking billions of dollars,
yes,
of funding that is poured into the scheme.
They've smashed the budget.
They certainly have. They have. And the government has announced a cap of growth, mm-hmm, in funding within the scheme,
mm,
which is understandable because the last thing we want is the scheme to fall over. But
yeah,
at the same time, we want to make sure that people have the reasonable and necessary funding. Reasonable and necessary is the term that we talk about within,
yep,
NDIS funding. So the Act, or changes to the Act, changes to the scheme, are really focusing on that, ensuring people receive the supports they need.
Excellent. And Peter, what are some of the key recommendations from the review and why this has led to changes to the Act?
So first of all, the changes to the Act, and as Rosetta talked about in the introduction, the Act was brought into place in 2013,
mm-hmm,
and there are a number of rules that were introduced in 2018, hence the complexities I talked about,
yes,
that actually inform how the scheme is actually delivered to participants. So the changes to the Act at the moment, as they are tabled within the government, are fairly limited in the sense that they're really at the moment focusing on how people enter the scheme, how they're assessed by the National Disability Insurance Agency, which is the agency that actually implements, mm-hmm, the NDIS,
mm-hmm,
focuses on making sure that people coming into the scheme understand how their funding is going to be managed. So we talk about things like early intervention, which is people under the age of 9, people who are in the scheme really for their disability supports, and people who have psychosocial disabilities. So that's one aspect of it. The changes to the Act are really aimed at making sure that funding for people under the NDIS is really about the whole person. So at the moment, the funding is approved on the basis of what we call individual items of support.
Yes.
So it makes sense that we want to ensure that the funding that it's provided is looking at the person as a whole, not just, well, they need this activity today, they need that activity tomorrow. And also just some tightening of quality and safeguards. Quality and safeguarding is a real passion of mine within the sector. It's such a critical part of supporting vulnerable people, as you've talked about. So it may sound a bit silly, but one of the items within the changes of the Act is to make sure that auditors who check that providers like Astara are doing the right thing, the actual auditors can't employ people who have been banned under the NDIS. Sounds a bit dopey and common sense. The key thing within the recommendations of the NDIS review is this is going to take a long time. So these changes to the Act at the moment are really just the first steps to ensuring the design and the implementation of the scheme is sustainable.
So fine-tuning.
Yeah, it is. And we'll see a lot more changes coming through. As I said, very early days. The review was announced in December last year, and this is really just the first of hundreds of steps that will need to be implemented.
Astara is an NDIS service provider. So, Peter, can you tell us how Astara supports older South Australians access the most appropriate services? And I understand that there may be some confusion about what happens when an older person requires support for their disability. So can you explain how support can be funded and, most importantly, delivered?
I'll try my best, because we talk about complexities of NDIS, people over the age of 65. And by the way, I've just turned 56.
You're so young.
I am young, but apparently in 9 years' time, I'm hitting that threshold, and I think we will acknowledge that the age of 65 is a benchmark that was set a long, long time ago.
Yes.
Regardless of that, that's the benchmark that we talk about when we refer to people who are older or ageing Australians. Look, there are a number of different ways of funding of disability support for older Australians. So if we talk about the NDIS, if you are within the scheme already,
yes,
as you age and as you pass that threshold of age of 65, you can continue to receive NDIS-funded supports. At some point, you may elect to change over to the My Aged Care system, which is a different bucket of funding, if you like. But you currently cannot receive My Aged Care and NDIS funding at the same time. One of the there are some nuances to
Double dipping.
It is to an extent. One of the key recommendations from the NDIS review is that people should be able to access appropriate supports through funding through either scheme. So as I said, there are some nuances around that, but the general principle is that you're in the NDIS until you choose to change over.
Yeah.
If you are over the age of 65 and sustain a disability, if it's through a motor vehicle accident, you actually fall into a whole other scheme called in South Australia, it's called the Lifetime Support Scheme.
Yes.
Which is part of the National Injury Insurance Scheme. and you will receive reasonable and necessary supports for life. If you have a disability that's not related to a motor vehicle accident or a workplace accident, you are not eligible for the NDIS.
Right.
And that's built within the Act. So you then go straight into the My Aged Care stream, which I'm sure Rosetta talks about.
Yeah, we have spoken often about that. And if I can just add one thing there, that's where the vulnerability comes in. And that's where through the support services that we do, we're able to really try and get that person the best services, noting that they now have a disability but don't have access to the NDIS and have to work through the aged care system, who are not disability experts. But that's probably a conversation for another day.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at Astara, we help people obviously navigate their understanding of where they're able to get funding.
Yes.
I mean, we are a not-for-profit and we provide grants, scholarships for people over the age of 65 just to help fill some gaps.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still significant reform required, I think, for ageing Australians with disability for the reasons that Rosetta's just touched on there.
Right. 26 minutes past 10. The other recent activity in the disability sector, which listeners are probably aware of, is that the Disability Royal Commission has taken place. Peter, can you talk us about why the commission was conducted and, again, what are some of the key recommendations that we should be aware of?
Yeah, so there's a fair bit happening in the sector, which is why I look like I haven't had a lot of sleep lately, Rob. So we've had NDIS review. Disability Royal Commission was wound up last year. That was conducted over a couple of years, focusing on the prevention of exploitation, abuse, neglect and violence towards people with disability, not just focused on providers like Astara, but really looking at all areas of life. So mainstream services like health, education, transport, employment, and yes, the provision of disability supports. I guess your listeners will be familiar with the Anne-Marie Smith case, which was that just awful example of how people with disability can be treated by people who don't have their safeguarding at front of mind.
Their welfare.
Yeah. Absolutely. So it was just an awful example. And so that was a key moment in informing the requirement for a Royal Commission. We've had Royal Commissions into a whole range of things around vulnerable people like younger people and obviously we've had an aged care Royal Commission. There were 222 recommendations across 12 odd chapters of the Royal Commission. A little bit of light reading for you, Rob, while you're listening to your great music, by the way. But a lot of those recommendations are yet to be implemented. In fact, the vast majority. So the federal government, the state governments are still working through some of the key recommendations. I guess the main thing is really around strengthening the safeguarding of individuals.
Yep.
And the NDIS review had part of that as well. There's a lot of focus at the moment around registration of NDIS providers. So just to explain, people with disability can choose, as they should, where they receive their supports from, but you don't actually have to be registered with the National Disability Insurance Agency or the Commission, Quality and Safeguards Commission, to deliver those supports, which potentially opens up a range of concerns around who's out there actually delivering supports.
And that's quite interesting because that's quite different in the aged care sector.
Right. Yep.
Very different.
Sorry, I was going to say time's running away from us, but I do want to ask you, are there other activities occurring, though, within South Australia that we may not be aware of, which are aimed at improving the lives of people living with a disability, including those like me who are ageing?
Yes, all of us.
Absolutely. So, I mean, there are always things happening, and we've been having, we being Astara, have been having discussions with SA Health and Department of Human Services around access to funding for people with old Australians. And I've got to say the department's very receptive to hearing that. They're keen to close up gaps that we've identified. Rosetta and I were just talking before we came on air that what has been known as the Office for Ageing Well within SA Health is moving to DHS. But I think one of the key parts, this is part of the NDIS review and is important for people over the age of 65, is the delivery of what we call foundational supports of disability. And that's outside of the NDIS.
Right.
And that's about making sure every person with disability has access to support coordination, peer support advocacy, information and linkages, so understanding where to go and how to receive the best supports that they are. So the state government is very much committed, I can say. Nat Cook within DHS is definitely committed to working with the federal government at setting up that foundational support framework within South Australia.
Brilliant. Rosetta.
Yeah, look, I'm just listening to what Peter's saying with quite intense intensity, and it's really interesting to hear what Peter has said, because when we reflect on the aged care reforms, which now over 4 or 5 years, and still continuing, may I add, I can see some synergies and aspirations across the two systems, and in particular, taking a whole of a person approach to participants' support and service needs, the improving of service quality and safeguards, which Peter has talked quite in detail, and reforming the participants' pathways into the NDIS and the aged care to ensure that as much as possible there's a unified system of support and services for ageing people with disability.
Mm-hmm.
And one final thing, Peter, and look, we may not have time here today, but we hear the word navigator within the NDIS, and I can't help asking myself, is this similar to the aged care finder Canberra, which we've actually been on air here previously, Rob, to share with your listeners what a Care Finder is, and that the Catalyst Foundation, in fact, is a Care Finder, and as an independent organisation, we support vulnerable people access through the aged care services. So these navigators, is that what they do, but with NDIS gates?
Yeah, very similar. So this is aimed at replacing the formal support coordination network under NDIS, which is, it's been acknowledged, has some challenges. So navigators who won't be actual disability service providers, so there'll be that delineation
and that's very
avoiding
important.
Conflict of interest, will absolutely assist a person to, as the name suggests, navigate the disability system and network and identify who's appropriate providers, how can I best use my funding, you know, within different areas. So very similar.
Mm. Fantastic. Well, I'm all ready to sit my written exam now, so
I've actually prepared one for you.
I'll assess it.
Thank you both for coming into the studio this morning. Peter Stewart, the CEO of Stara, and Rosetta Rosa, CEO of the Catalyst Foundation. And, of course, we'll be seeing you both in October.
Yes, and yeah, absolutely. And your listeners, come and find Peter and me.
Yes.
We're handsome people.
Yes, exactly. And the date of that one in October is?
October is the 11th and the 12th.
That's
and
right.
As I said, Kadena is just around the corner for, I'm not sure, do your listeners actually get to hear that?
They don't.
No, okay. People that listen to the Adelaide, if they know people in Kadena, can they please pass on that
absolutely.
There is a Kadena Expo and a star is going to be there as well? Yeah.